Before I share my scripture, I want to just share with you that 45 years ago, last night at 7 o'clock in the then newly renovated sanctuary, Julianne and I got married. So we celebrated our 45th anniversary yesterday, and I moved here when I was 15 years old when my dad became pastor, and I didn't start dating Julianne until about 4 years later, but some of us are slow learners, but we get there eventually. So we celebrated that. And yes, as Chad shared, I'm retiring. And when people had been asking me, Mark, are you going to take a small church somewhere out in the country in retirement? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I've been pastoring churches for 45 years. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to soak it up in the pew and be a volunteer during the week. And that's what I'm going to do. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call from your district superintendent, Kelly Clem. And she said, now, I know you said you weren't going to take a church, but have I got a deal for you? So she shared with me, and I said, if you need an answer today, the answer is no. If you can give me a few days to think and pray, it might change. I'm not making any promises. Well, it's official. Starting 1st of July, I will be the retired supply pastor of the Leeton United Methodist Church. And sometimes that happens when you pray about things. You get a little different answer than what you thought you might be getting. But I'm glad. I mean, God's way is always better. It's just like the words we sang a few moments ago. God's way is always better. All right, I hope you brought your sword with you, your textbook, your hymn book, or the scripture may be on the screen. I don't know. It's coming from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. And my message this morning is From Pits to Praises. Psalmist tells us this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and I heard my cry. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and He set my feet on a rock. And He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders that You have done and things that You have planned for us. None can compare with You. Were I to speak and tell of Your deeds, they would be too many to declare. And we give thanks to God for that good word from His word. One of the amazing things about the Bible is that it tells the truth. And you might be saying, duh, of course, it's the Bible. It tells the truth. And it does. But it tells the truth even in difficult circumstances or situations. When Cain kills Abel, the Bible tells the story. When Elijah wants to die and asks God to kill him, the Bible includes that as well. When Jeremiah loses his temper with the kids down the road and calls wild animals out to get them, the Bible includes that story as well. When King David commits the double sin of adultery and murder, the Bible tells the truth about King David. David, the man after God's own heart, is having to wait on an answer to prayer. Now, you'd think David would get priority booking in the prayer line. He would be first in line, and, David, come ahead. Just move to the front. I need to hear you. David says he's waiting. David, the man after God's own heart. David, the sweet singer of Israel. David, the boy who revealed that Goliath had rocks in his head. You'll get it. He is having to wait on an answer to prayer. Now, I'm serious as I ask this question. Have any of you ever had to wait on an answer to prayer? Show of hands, please. I think everybody's had to wait on an answer to prayer sooner or later. Sooner or later. David's having to. It didn't happen as soon as he expected it to. He's waiting to get his prayer answered. And here's a key. God does not always work on our timetable. As a matter of fact, His way and His timetable are much to be preferred than ours. Yet, because we are impatient and eager, we say, God, where are you? You haven't answered my prayer. And God says, hang in there. Just wait. Just wait. God does not always work on our timetable. Waiting on Him, waiting for Him is a must. It's a must. We're in no position to make demands. Do it now, Lord. No. We put it in God's hands and wait on God's timing. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means, first, activity under command. In other words, God says, stay or go, and we stay or go. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. That's what waiting on the Lord means. We're waiting for His instruction. And third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Wait on the Lord. Do nothing until the command is given. Now I want us to look for a few moments at Pitts. It was shared during the musical part of worship about mountains and obstacles. Well, I'm using that same image in reverse, a pit. We're kind of talking about the same things there. A word about pits, and I want to show at least four different ways that pits can enter our lives. First, pits can be of someone else's making. We may be the victim of someone else's decision or carelessness or hurtfulness, or anger. And we're in a pit. It may be a spiritual pit. It may be a physical pit of some type. I had quite the shock about a year ago. I was in Gadsden. I pastor in Boaz and Atala. And I was in Gadsden, and I'd just been to the bank because it was payday. And I came out, pulled into a left turn lane, waited for the light to turn, thought that I had looked to make sure the intersection was clear. I had the light. I had the right-of-way. I pulled out and got the stew knocked out of me in downtown Gadsden. And it wasn't my fault, except maybe I didn't look as carefully as I should have. The guy said, well, I saw this guy unloading the truck at the intersection. I wanted to make sure I missed him. Well, he missed him and got me. Sometimes we're victims, and we may find ourselves in a pit, though that was a little inconvenient, but it wasn't a full-blown pit. Have you ever been in a pit when you felt like someone was adding insult to injury? They may have helped you get in the pit or may have criticized you for being in a pit, and then it seems like they're just throwing dirt on top of you. Well, it's taken me a long time, but one thing I've learned, and I try to practice, not as often as I should, is that when you find yourself in a pit, and then people are adding insult to injury, like they're throwing dirt on you, start packing that dirt down with prayer and praise. Pack it down and you'll be standing a little higher. More dirt comes, pack it down, you'll be standing a little higher. And eventually, through prayer and praise, you can climb out of the pit. Okay, pits can be of someone else's making. They can be providential. Think about Joseph, the patriarch of the Old Testament. Joseph had a couple of pit stops along the way. First pit stop Joseph had was when his brothers threw him in a cistern. They were going to leave him for dead. And then they decided to sell him to turn a profit on the deal. So that was one pit he found himself in. And then later on, when his boss's wife lied about him, he got put in prison. Yet another pit. And lo and behold, his friends forget about him while he's in the pit. But Joseph's dreams came true because of those pits. There's two ways of looking at it. Maybe it's providential that he go into the pit. Or maybe it was a little bit of Romans 8:28 at work there, where it says, God works together in all circumstances for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. Regardless, God will be with us in the pit. I will never leave you or forsake you. And that includes pits. So there could be some providential aspect of it. Also, pits can be circumstantial, like a health problem. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Good things happen to the sorry. Good things happen to the good. Bad things happen to the saints, and good things happen to the saints. Circumstantial. And pits can be of our own making. We may have dug that pit ourselves by making wrong decisions or by being in a spirit of rebellion. And we find ourselves feeling alone, spiritually depressed, and spiritually in the pits. Or maybe in other ways in the pits as well. Now, there is good news about the pits. The good news is that they are usually temporary. Pits are usually temporary. David is waiting in a mature manner. I waited patiently for the Lord. He wasn't beating on the steering wheel of the car saying, when will this train ever clear the road? Anybody been there? Now, I personally haven't done that, but Hal Mills has told me about it. You know, I think he's had that experience. But, David is not, exasperated waiting on something to happen. He is waiting patiently on the Lord. His confidence is in God. God has proved Himself trustworthy and faithful. Just wait on the Lord. In Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, it says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, he's not waiting for heaven for things to get better. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. David was practicing what he had preached. But you see, David couldn't get out of that pit. Couldn't get out. But he knew someone who could get him out of the pit. Over 100 years ago, Charlie Tillman wrote these words. I was sinking deep in sin. Oh, you may know this one. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. Sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. What happened? God reach down, as David is in that miry muck that pulls your shoes off, and he's going down, and God pulls him up. Not only does he get him out of the pit, but he puts him in a better place. He puts him over on the rock. And he says, he put me on the rock where I could stand in safety. Oh, God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. God puts us in a better place. A better place. As great as David was at expressing love and praise for God, he declares that God's deeds are too many to declare. If we practice what the hymn says and count our blessings, name them one by one, and we'll be surprised what God's been up to, how much He has done. Here, David says he's looking and thinking about God's deeds, what God has done. He said, there are too many to count. Too many. The last verse of the Gospel of John says, if all of the things that Jesus said and did were recorded, that all of the libraries of the world could not contain them. God has done more than we can possibly imagine, and He's still up to doing good. He can lift us out of the pit. The lyrics of a praise song from a few years back go like this. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. And I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find that there is none like You. That's what David is saying as he pens these verses. Lord, You're amazing. There's no one anywhere. There's no God to compare. There's no person to compare. You are God. You are amazing. And You have done so much in my life and in the lives of those around me. I can't even count what You've done. I can't even enumerate what all You have done. Now, there is a transition from the pit to praises. I once heard it said that you can't stay angry when you're dancing. Think about that. I pondered that and I said, you can't stay angry when you're dancing. It's pretty much true. You can't. But there's an even greater truth than that. Your spirit does not have to stay in the pits when you're praising. Praising God gets our spirit out of the pits. We don't have to stay there. You might say, well, preacher, I know you preachers praise the Lord all the time. It's easy for you. No, it's not easy for us. You might be saying, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like praising God. I'm hurting. I'm sad. I'm angry. I don't feel like it. Well, John Wesley once told his preachers, preach faith until you have it. Well, I want to add this to Brother John's writing. Praise God until you feel like it. Prime the pump. Get it started. Start praising God. Put on Christian music and sing along with it, or just listen to the words and ponder those words. It will help to lift you out of the pit. As you travel in your office, at your home, praise God in the pit. And your spirit will not necessarily have to stay in that pit. Probably about 40 years ago, Brown Bannister wrote a song that Russ Taff has made popular through the years, and lots of folks have done it. And appropriately, it's entitled, Praise the Lord. praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, and the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they fall powerless behind you when you praise Him. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Our spirits, though they may be in the pit, can soar when we praise Him. We can go, as David did, from the pit to praise. He is waiting. He is ready. He's saying, come on. Get out of the pit. I'll get you out if you want me to, if you'll trust me. Amen.